Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill of the Odds Breakers will join us. We will go over the brackets. It is here. I was saying earlier, I'll never get to the point where I outgrow this and outgrow the excitement of it. Of 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You're just counting down the hours until it finally gets revealed, and then it gets revealed, and it's so much fun to see all the teams, the names. Definitely different the past couple of years without Gumbel. Adam Zucker seems like a great guy, but a little different. It's just different without Gumbel as we all get older and things change. But I will say, I really can't kill the committee for anything. Usually this time of the year, people throw their arms out. How could you have this? How could this team be in? How could this team be out? There's outrage. There's controversy. And honestly, it's kind of fun. It's fun to listen to. It engages debate. It's fun to hear people get worked up. From a content standpoint, I think it's good to have these debates and controversies. This year, you know what? The teams that missed kind of deserve to miss. And the one debatable one was Miami, Ohio. But I really thought if they were going to lose a game like they did UMass on Thursday, and we said it going into the Friday show, this was pretty easy for them to just compromise and sort of split the baby and say, you know what? Your record was too good to leave you out. Your schedule is too bad to put you all the way in. We'll stick you in Dayton. We'll get some juice for those games. That's a quasi home game. And I actually thought the 9 on them. And I was doing the spaces with Bear, Jeff Schwartz, Sammy, a bunch of people. You can check that out. I think it's on Sammy's Twitter page. I probably retweeted it too. The 9 was certainly appetizing for what is basically a home game. It's down to like 7.5, 8 now. As that continues to come down, I still think that's too many points. SMU, plus from a matchup standpoint, SMU, first off, it's not that good, but from a matchup standpoint, they really aren't going to challenge or expose Miami, Ohio, and their lack of size at the rim. That's the one big weakness for Miami, Ohio, is they're not going to be able to compete defensively, especially at the rim and giving up second chance points and all of those things. But I don't think that's going to be an issue with this SMU team. I don't think SMU is really going to challenge that. So them getting the points to me is one I like. And, you know, again, you can quibble. All right, St. John's is a 5. They beat UConn 2 out of 3. They won the regular season. They won the conference title. And UConn's a 2 and St. John's is a 5. Plus St. John's has to go out west. All right, I'll buy it. Tough draw. You could have put him as a 4. You could have put him in the east. And that is a fun bracket where you could get a St. John's versus Duke Sweet 16. You could get UConn versus Duke. You could, you know, in theory, get UConn versus St. John's again. I don't think it's going to happen, but a lot of fun different matchup. Kansas in there as the 4 seed. So that's a fun bracket. But can't really scream bloody murder over any of this stuff. I thought a lot of this was fair for the most part. I know the Allen Bostons of the world say, oh, the mid-majors get screwed, and you put this team with them, and you know they knock off all the mid-majors. Santa Clara playing 9 o'clock a.m. local time, at least for them, their body clock, which is a 12:15 East Coast tip against Kentucky, and that lines up to 4.5. Maybe that's a little unfair, but you're really nitpicking here, I think, if you're screaming about the committee. I think for the most part, they got the big stuff right, and the big stuff was easy. Once Florida lost on Saturday, that opened it up for UConn and maybe Houston. But then those teams lost, and you just go back to square one, and it was clear who the 4 ones were going to be. The teams that were on the outside looking in, you can't really make a case for Auburn, Oklahoma, any of these teams. It's hard to say anybody got screwed. So I thought, all in all, the committee did a good job. But as of things I like so far, Miami, Ohio getting the points. Northern Iowa getting a dozen against St. John's seems like too many. Northern Iowa can slow the tempo. St. John's can be a little bit up and down offensively, and they're not a typical blowout team, even though they did beat UConn by 20 points. They're more of a grinded-out defensive team. So Northern Iowa, I think, can hang in that game. And Patino was very complimentary of them in the post-selection show, and he said, I think he said this is the best team I've ever faced in an opener, which I would love to hear him clarify that, because he coached Iona 3 years ago, and they played UConn, the eventual national champion, in the opener, and UConn clocked them, as you'd expect. So I'm not sure what he meant by that. Maybe in terms of like, this is the best underdog team he's played when he's had one of these elite teams, or best, you know, lower seeded team he's faced. I'd love to hear him clarify that, but you know, you get the idea. But to me, Northern Iowa getting the points is a play at 12. Miami of Ohio, even at 8, is a play. A total I like, Clemson, Iowa could be an ugly game. Iowa plays slow and ugly. So does Clemson. That could be one. And you see a lot of unders too, because this is neutral sites. You know, the shooting backdrop you're not used to. It's max intensity on defense. That could be one where it's like 57, 54. I like the under in that one. There's not a ton else that jumps out to me. I'm sure I'll, as I start to just re-examine and dive into these matchups, a few things will pop up. We get the first four games. UMBC and Howard is Tuesday night, followed by NC State and Texas late Tuesday night. That will be the WBC final. Also, and as we're recording this, it is 2-1 USA. By the way, Tatis, the way he runs the base, Tatis is basically giving the game here to USA. Two complete blunders here on the bases. Thrown out, running on Judge to third with Soto up next. You don't make the final out on third. He's dead by a mile. And then he doesn't run to third on the ball in the gap. I mean, he is just not a smart baseball player. Then he comes up with a man on third after I thought Wells could have scored. And with a man on third, less than two outs, he's not able to put the ball in play. So Tatis is great when he's able to dance around the bases after a home run. He's not as great in terms of just the little idiosyncrasies of the game and knowing how to play baseball in a winning way. And you can see why the Padres continue to underachieve when he's your best player. That's just not smart baseball, not winning baseball. As it looks like the U.S. here up 2-1 heading into the ninth inning. U.S. is probably going to be in good shape here to get to a title game. But back to the brackets before we get to Kiev. So those are my three picks for now. Like I said, Miami of Ohio, Northern Iowa, and the under Clemson, Iowa are the ones that jumped out to me. Would lead Santa Clara plus the points. That seems like a lot. You know, TCU, Ohio State's an interesting game. UCF, UCLA is an interesting game. And my goodness, if it's UCLA, UConn in the second round, good luck to those refs that have to deal with Cronin and Hurley, the two biggest crybabies in the world, both in your ear the whole game. That might be a good time to take a sick day if you're one of those referees, because that would be a just brutal 2.5 hours. And I said the same thing when Hurley coaches against Patino, but Hurley against Cronin is not much different. And that will be a very dangerous game for a UConn team that's just not that good, has not played that well. UCLA would be a very dangerous 2-7 game for them. And I can't remember too many times UConn has played UCLA in the tournament for two teams that have won all these championships. Their success never seems to match up. I remember maybe mid-90s, 95, 96. It might have been UCLA's title teams. I think it was 94. I remember one time in the mid-90s, I think UCLA eliminated them pretty deep in the tournament. But for the most part, these teams have avoided each other in the tournament. That could be a second-round matchup. So just wanted to get more initial reactions. Obviously, we'll do more on this as the tournament gets closer. But the big takeaways for me was no gripes with the committee, and that's not something I think you can usually say. Usually there's a lot to complain about. There's plenty to say, how could you put this team here, that team there? And you really didn't have a lot of that in this tournament. The one team I felt bad for, I don't even feel bad for them because it was so stupid. The Ivy League final, which was an incredible, incredible game Sunday afternoon. You're supposed to be the smart conference. Yale's supposed to be the smart team. This is Yale. You're up four late. You're up three with a chance to foul. The game is basically over. The kid for Penn, who was red, red hot from beyond the arc and just in general, he's dribbling up past half court. He's dribbling slow. You have every opportunity in the world. I know sometimes you don't want to foul because you don't want him to go into a three-point shot and the continuation. He gets three free throws. You had every chance to just bump into him, go for the ball. You had every chance to foul there and make it be on the floor and have them go to the foul line and basically clinch the game. That was a dreadful, inexcusable loss for Yale, but 9.5, 10-point favorite. They're up late. It's amazing they let that game get away. They did some dumb things down the stretch. They really, really did. They didn't foul right away. They stepped out of bounds just accidentally, which I guess is a physical error more than a mental error, but boy, they played really dumb down the stretch. And if I'm that coach did a horrible job. I know he's pretty well respected. He's had some success there. You know, won a tournament game. He's done a good job. He's built them into a strong program for an Ivy League. But, oh, my goodness, that loss is on him. And part of it's on the kids. You know what? Even if your coach isn't telling you to do it, just have some basketball sense and go foul the kid and take your chances that way. Yale just completely gives away the Ivy title. And now Penn is the champion. Fran McCaffrey, who I'm sure a lot of people watched that game and said, wow, I didn't know Fran McCaffrey was on Penn. And I've had that reaction 3 or 4 different times seeing McCaffrey coach Penn this year. He and his team draw Illinois, maybe a little maybe the committee did it by accident, maybe a little sense of humor there, putting McCaffrey against his old conference foe, Illinois here, a Big Ten team. So McCaffrey, the former Iowa coach, gets Illinois here. Illinois is about a 24-point favorite. I just think Penn probably plays a little too fast to actually pull the upset, but that will be an interesting, I don't know if it'll be an interesting game, but it's an interesting matchup, at least on paper. But gave me some initial thoughts. Let's see what Kev O'Neill thinks, get his reaction, his bets. This is Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Let's break down the brackets. It's our buddy. There's nobody better than discuss this than Kev O'Neill from the Odds Breakers. Kev, I'm fascinated to get your thoughts. Thanks for coming on. We'll get bets, regions, anything you want to get to, but I'm excited to hear your thoughts. You and I haven't compared notes. I would actually say the committee, you know what, maybe their job was pretty easy this year. I don't think I have any major qualms with them. All right, they kind of compromised and put Miami of Ohio in the playing around. The teams that got left out didn't really deserve to belong in. You could quibble with some of the seeds, St. John's and so forth, but I thought they did a decent job. Did you have any major issues with the committee, and what kind of grade would you give them?
I like some of the stuff they did. They kept Auburn out, right? There are some teams that I didn't want to see in. What's funny is that you can't argue that anybody should be in because this is a 68 team tournament, dude. You know, play better. Yeah, if you want to be a 10 seed, right? Yeah, you have to be better than that. Yeah, it's not like college football where there's 12 teams, you know. And so shoulda, woulda, coulda. I would say that there's teams I would have flip-flopped. I did not want to see Georgia in there for the way they played on the stretch. Missouri, Texas, NC State, and SMU. I wasn't a big fan. I don't think the SEC should have gotten 10 teams, but if there was an SEC team that's actually hot, then playing really well, and I had them 300-1 to win the SEC tournament, and they almost got by Arkansas, was Oklahoma. I think if you're looking at really the best teams, you know, Florida State and Oklahoma are playing better than a lot of teams that made the tournament. So is it supposed to be the best teams right now or just your whole body of work, blah, blah, blah? No huge problems with the committee. I would give them a B-. I think that the West bracket kind of shaped up a little bit harder by all the hot teams seem to be in that side. Everybody's favorite Cinderella in Wisconsin is there as well. So it just kind of feels like, you know, Purdue, they're not the best two seed, but, you know, they still won their bracket. You got Gonzaga there, who's always a force. BYU is sitting there, who is a very tough out on that side. And, of course, Arizona's got to deal with that in Arkansas. You got Acuff there who's been playing great. So I feel like the West is a lot harder than everything else.
What did you think they were going to do with Miami of Ohio? Take it there first. What did you think they were going to do with Miami of Ohio?
I think they're going to do exactly what they did and put them in the playing game. And I think that was a great thing to do because you can't keep a team out for going undefeated. I know they don't have great wins.
Good compromise. I'm with you.
It may be, you know, there's teams that they try to schedule that won't schedule them. It's kind of like scheduling James Madison in football. You know, that doesn't do you any good. If you lose, it hurts you. If you win, it doesn't do you any good. So I get that. But they still beat Akron, who's a top 64 team and a tournament team. And they needed to be in. It's not saying I wouldn't bet against them, but, you know, you can't have an undefeated season and not make the big dance, in my opinion. Otherwise, you know, just opt out of the MAC tournament if they were going to count that loss against them, right?
What have you bet so far? To me, a few that jumped out, Miami of Ohio getting about, well, got up to 10. I thought that was a little heavy. Northern Iowa getting 11.5, 12. That seems a little high. That could be a tough upset, you know, first-round matchup for St. John's. That's, I don't know, upset potential, but I could see that being a very competitive, you know, 2-1, 2-possession game. Under Clemson and Iowa, that could be an ugly grinder type of game. So those are three that jumped out to me. How about you? Anything you bet, anything you're eyeing?
Yeah, I made a few bets already. I'll give you a couple of them. I like Utah State, and the reason I like them is that because Villanova's kind of injured. They've been very poor down the stretch. Now, we only get one Mountain West team, Will, and normally we like to fade that under win total, which is like usually like 3.5 or 5.5 in Mountain West teams. But now there's only one team in the Mountain West, which is funny. Their whole conference rating is higher than it was last year when they had four teams in, according to one of our cappers, Sean Kanaki, that I was just with on one of on my show. So I found that very interesting. I think they take care of Villanova and take them out. A team that I love to fade that's a big favorite is a Texas Tech, Will. Texas Tech plays down to their competition. They were 8.5. Now they're down to 7.5. I bet it when it was 8.5. I still like it at 7.5. I think Akron is going to be a very tough out for them. Akron's got some size and some length. They can run the floor with them. Akron, the number 8th in effective field goal percent, the 14th best three-point shooter. This is going to be a three-point contest between Texas Tech and Akron. It's going to be a fun game, but I think Akron's going to hang with them, if not possibly win this game outright.
Any upsets? I mean, you mentioned Akron. A lot of people, Hofstra, I think, will be a trendy one. High Point will be a trendy one, which, look, I had High Point last year against Purdue taking the points. They got absolutely drilled. I don't have much an appetite to go up against them again. Wisconsin, the old saying, upsets happen in the 60s and 70s, more maybe even the 50s and 60s, lower scoring games. Upsets don't happen in the 80s and 90s. You want to run and gun with a team that's just better and has better athletes. That would scare me. But anything you're thinking in terms of outright upsets here?
I mean, anything big, I would say.
Do you give Hofstra a shot?
No. I don't give High Point a shot. Wisconsin drills teams with bad defensive efficiency. Wisconsin loses to teams with good defensive efficiency, so that's not one of my 5-12 upsets. Akron's my 5-12 upset for sure that I just talked about, but I'm kind of looking through my first initial bracket. I could see North Dakota State beating Michigan State. I'm going to bet it. I didn't bet it yet. I'm just waiting on the line, and I can see North Dakota. I think Michigan State is fake news. I don't think they're good coming in. I think their KenPom rating is wrong. I think they've been terrible down the stretch. They're not even in the top 25 since February 1st. I will say that UCF would be my sleeper to reach the Sweet 16 by beating UConn. I think they could beat UCLA and then beat UConn. UConn is weird this year. It wouldn't shock me if UConn goes to the Final Four either, Will, but they're just – with Hurley there, he's kind of been a little bit of a head case, and he doesn't have – some of the athletes he had there in the past to get him by that, you know, it's what's funny is like you say Cinderella too, or I say Cinderella. I don't have any like low seeds that are maybe not named UCF that go to the Sweet 16, but can you really count UCF as a Cinderella when they're already in the Big 12, Will?
Yeah. It's not the year for it. And you always try to, not just for the sake of being different, but when you look at just the last, let's say, 15, 20 years. You go through the tournament and there usually is a 12, 13, 14 seed that either wins a game or wins multiple games. You usually do get some chaos, but, and so not only when you fill out your bracket, you want to be a little different, but you're in order to get the bracket right, you probably got to mix in some upsets and mix in some chaos. But with NIL, the portal, with how the tournament went last year, even to some extent 2 years ago, although NC State, you know, made a run. I don't know that that's going to be the norm anymore. So I'm with you. And I haven't really filled out my bracket. It's more a reaction tonight, but I'm with you. It's going to be hard here to find here some double digit seeds making runs.
Yeah. You know, I would look in the South bracket because Florida won it last year and they could be kind of out of gas the way that they played against Vandy. I found it really funny that they put Florida and Vandy in the South against each other and they have UConn and St. John's in the East against, you know, if that could end up facing up, you know, obviously St. John's would have to get by a Duke, but I found that interesting that those teams are on the same side after they just played each other in the tournaments. I guess you can, if you want to get cute, you can maybe say Troy, you know, Troy could sneak by Nebraska and then they could beat a Vanderbilt team that's gassed from playing in the SEC tournament, losing at the end. Maybe could they get by a Florida team? I don't think so, but I mean, I there's just no small team that I like that much this year, Will. And, you know, maybe this is the year to not pick the trendy 5-12 upsets, maybe minus Akron. And then maybe you'll be better along on your bracket.
The 4-1 seeds to make the Final Four is 14-1 at DraftKings. Is that enough for you to make a bet?
No, it should be 18-1 or more. And the more I think about it, Will, I feel like these one seeds, even though they were a good distance in front of the rest, that didn't really show up in the tournaments there.
Yeah, they didn't look great this weekend. You're right.
Duke got almost got bounced by Florida State, and I had Florida State in that game, and I had them a little bit of money line. Florida got bounced, you know. Michigan, they didn't even show up against Purdue today. They're just happy to beat Wisconsin in a revenge situation, right? It's like, what's going on?
Worked great in the other two games either. Wisconsin and Ohio State played them both down to the wire.
Not just that, Arizona needed a game-winning shot at the very end, and it was tied. It was going to go overtime against Iowa State. So, no, I don't think that's good enough, really. I think that not every one seed's going to make it. It wouldn't shock me, of course, if it did, but, you know, my Final Four, you know, it's probably best to bet on coaches. I am one of those suckers that's going to pick Wisconsin to go to the Final Four in one of my brackets, and I have Duke winning it. But the reason that is because I don't like Arizona's coach, man, Lloyd. I don't. He blows games, you know, and he's blown games in the past. I think Wisconsin could shock Arizona. I will say, Will, it's really interesting to see all these lottery picks playing college basketball. You know, you got Darren Peterson for Kansas. You got A.J. DeMonsa for BYU. You got Cam Boozer, right? You got Kingston Fleming for Houston. Keaton Wagler for Arizona. And then how about Acuff? How good was Acuff?
Oh, he's tremendous.
He won the tournament. You know, he was the reason my 300-1 Oklahoma couldn't go past because he didn't let it happen. The dude he single-handedly beat everybody. And now if he's playing like that, who's going to stop him? It's going to be so interesting watching all these kids and these top draft picks, lottery picks, you know, playing against each other. Which one's going to get hot? They say it's a guards game. You know, the only reason I picked Wisconsin over Arkansas is because I think Boyd has the experience, you know, and he's kind of the same guy, just a little shorter than Acuff. But man, I got to tell you right now, if I was picking an NBA number one pick, it wouldn't be Darian Peterson for sure. I would have to seriously look at Darius Acuff.
I'm with you. He's really good, and he gets forgotten about in this incredible class. And Boozer, Caleb Wilson is unfortunately not going to be part of the tournament. He's just about as good as anyone. So, yeah, it's an absolutely loaded freshman class. I want to just throw a couple games at you and just give me some thoughts.
Sure.
Kentucky's now up to a 4.5-point favorite over Santa Clara. I really want to bet Santa Clara here. 4.5 seems like too much. Concerns me a little bit. This is noon Eastern, so basically you're asking Santa Clara to play 9 o'clock in the morning, body clock. Do you have any thoughts on that game? Does that scheduling scare you off?
I mean, the scheduling, you got to factor it in somewhat, you know. I don't like Kentucky that much this year. I think they go really cold in some games. They go on little streaks and then make a little comeback, you know. It's kind of weird. And then you're playing all the way out at the Enterprise Center, you know, and I think that's in Missouri and St. Louis. And body clock, maybe. Why did this line move 2 points? Because it opened at 2.5. Now it's 4.5. It's making me look towards Santa Clara. I expected it to be more when it opened. I was surprised it was only open. It was kind of like closer to my number, but it's going away from my number. Everyone likes Buckyball. Everyone likes, that's St. Mary's. Yeah, everyone seems to be on, you know, the big names in Kentucky and probably pushing that line up. I don't know. I'll bet Santa Clara at 5. I'll say that for sure, but it is going away from my number, and I believe that it depends upon what your thoughts on Gonzaga are too, right? I mean, Gonzaga handled them at the end, but Santa Clara fought them pretty well. You know, Gonzaga played Kentucky and beat them by 40 points. It was early in the season, but yeah, I'm with you on Santa Clara.
This is a fascinating game, just in terms of contrast of styles. Texas A&M, speaking of Buckyball, and St. Mary's laying 2.5. It's the old question, the old saying, is it easier to slow a team down or speed them up? I think you can always slow a team down. Speeding them up might be tougher, and I think St. Mary's can kind of control the pace here and frustrate A&M. Do you have a different opinion? Are you interested to see the contrast in styles in this one?
Very interested to see the contrast in styles, but you have to remember that St. Mary's didn't get affected by Gonzaga either. And Gonzaga is 29th in an average possession length. You know, St. Mary's was able to control that game at home to win it at the end. And St. Mary's unfortunately lost to Santa Clara, of course, in their tournament there. But, you know, both of these games against Gonzaga, one went to 138 and one went to 129. So, yes, they can control the pace against Texas A&M. I like St. Mary's. I'm waiting for a 2 or 1.5, but I can see myself being on St. Mary's. And I think that's Bucky McMillan's getting a little too cute with people. I was kind of on the fade side of Texas A&M lately, and it's been working out for me.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Do you think the committee had a sense of humor sending Fran McCaffrey, the old Iowa coach, to face a Big Ten team? Illinois is laying 24.5. I can't believe the way Yale, I mean, come on. You're supposed to be an Ivy League school. This is Yale. You can't be that dumb to end the game. I don't know if you saw the end of the game today. Foul up three. What are you doing? You can't let him walk into a three. Unbelievable. And you had every opportunity. He's dribbling slowly across midcourt. But do you have any feel here? Illinois laying 24.5 against Penn.
Penn's got a really good player in TJ Power. Illinois is a team that I hate laying huge points because they kind of forget defense a little bit too from time to time. Now they have the 28th ranked defense, but they don't turn anybody over. They're pretty good, but they get cold. They don't steal the ball. They rebounded okay, but they really focus on the offensive rebounding a lot more. What Illinois doesn't do is foul much. So I find that very
And they don't turn it over.
Yeah. It's too many points for me just because they don't need to win by that many. If you're looking at a big spread, I have a different team. I just think that I can't get to Illinois with that much.
No chance at an upset, right? 35-1 for Penn on the money line, but they're just going to be outgunned, out-athleted, right? And they run too much?
Yes, because most likely, I mean, we see – crazy things happen all the time, but this is too many points. And Penn's coming in, you know, supposedly smart kids, right? Fran McCaffrey knows about Illinois because he's played them. And I don't think Fran's a great coach, but he's not a bad coach. He's a good coach.
Right.
And don't you find it funny that Penn plays really fast? It's like,
I know it's not the recipe.
Yeah, it's not the recipe, but that's Fran, you know, they comes in and just runs and guns, you know, and that could turn into a blowout if, you know, their offensive efficiency only ranks 204th. If you're going to play fast and you're not scoring, then Illinois could win. So it's probably a game I'm going to stay away. I like Houston laying points. Houston's got to get to the next round to have home court because, you know, that regional round is going to be home court against Illinois and any teams that if they get to Florida too in the Elite Eight. You know, they'll get a home court for that, you know, and Houston's got to get to that. And Houston's playing Idaho. I laid 21.5. It's up to 22.5. I think Houston's defense is just so sharp that they're going to completely shut them down. I think Houston's a little bit reeling from not winning the Big 12 and the way that they performed against Arizona. And so I think that they're just going to come out gunning. And Idaho, the reason that they won against Montana and the other teams is their front court. But their front court is not going to do anything against Houston's front court. I think this is going to be a 35-point blowout, 40 points, something like that. I laid it with Houston.
Yeah, and team total under for Houston's opponents has been a good one to go to in past years where you look at some of those halftime scores for their opponents. Now, this isn't a vintage Houston defense, but look at some of those halftime scores. And just, I can, going off memory, just like, you know, 18, 22 points where they'll strangle you. Not as easy to do this year. It's officiated a little differently, but I would certainly agree with that. And how about if you get that? Go ahead.
Houston's a bully, dude. Let's face it. Yeah. You know, they destroy teams that are lower rated. You know, they just wipe them out. Like they played New Orleans and won by 40. You know, they won by like 50 something. Like they over then doubled Jackson State. You know, they're bullies. But when they play someone really good, like in Arizona or Iowa State, then in Kansas. They get beat, you know, and but I love the bully angle here, Houston versus Idaho.
How about that? If that's a second round game, Houston versus St. Mary's, that will be first one to like 50 or 55. That will be a grinder.
Yeah, total of 115.
Yes,
that would be fun, ugly. fun to watch just because of how much they're holding onto the ball there. I think St. Mary's will have a shot to win that game. I don't know how much of a shot, but I think there's a chance that they could, you know, if they can just get a little hot, come off ball screens, hitting some threes. Houston does struggle to score against good teams. St. Mary's a good team. They're not a bad team. They're a solid team. I wouldn't call them one to get bullied, put it that way.
Iowa Clemson, do you agree this is kind of a rock fight? You know, I guess I'd probably go Iowa just because I think they probably have the best player and they could score. They got at least a bucket getter here, but that could be another ugly game. Did you have any feel here? Iowa Clemson here with it now 2.5 with Iowa the favorite and total 131.5.
What an ugly game. I tried to buy low on Clemson earlier this year and got smoked. And, you know, I don't know what's up with this Clemson team. They got a little injured. You know, that Carter Welling is listed as injured. Is he playing? I don't know. There's a couple other guys. You know, they lost Zach Foster earlier in the year, a freshman that was playing some minutes. Clemson should be better, but they're so lethargic sometimes on offense. You don't know what the heck's going on. And, you know, down the stretch, they were just awful. And beating North Carolina, so what? You beat them by one with no Caleb Smith, you know? I mean, and that's another team that I want to fade is North Carolina. Sorry, Caleb Wilson. You know, I can't get a good read on Iowa or Clemson. You know, what's funny about that? Both of these teams are fade teams for me. They just happen to be playing each other. And unfortunately, Will, there's a couple sleeper teams that are playing each other that I wanted to be on. I wanted to be on South Florida. I wanted to be on Louisville. Because Louisville's going to get Mikel Brown back. You know, he's most likely coming back for the tournament. I thought that was going to be a good sleeper, but here we are. They're playing each other. I hate the fact that Wisconsin's going to have to meet up with Arkansas. I was kind of hoping to, you know, somehow be on those teams at some point. But, you know, that's how the bracket showed up for us. And it's what we have to take and try to figure out. But, you know, sleeper teams are interesting, too, because, you know, there's going to be a team getting really, really hot. And you just got to find out which one it is.
Any thought on these first four games? SMU's down to 7.5 now against Miami of Ohio. Lehigh's minus 2.5 against Prairie View. Texas, a 1.5 favorite over NC State. And then UMBC, minus 2.5 over Howard. That will get the tournament going here on Tuesday night.
I don't like laying points with SMU. I would even lean Miami, Ohio, because they probably feel a little disrespected too coming in here. Wouldn't shock me to get if they get really hot. Texas, NC State should be a pick'em. You know, both these teams are gross. Both these teams, I thought that they would be better down the stretch. I thought Texas's coach Sean Miller would be better down the stretch. Dude, they'd lost 5 of their last 6 games. You know, just very awkward team. And NC State at the same time, oh my God, they lost like 8 of the last 10 games. You know, how are these guys even in the tournament? That's kind of what I was looking at. But I don't know what to do with this. I would take an under maybe, even though both teams seem to play fast. This is an elimination game. You know, I would maybe look at the under in that game. Howard, Baltimore, Maryland. You remember Baltimore was the one that beat Virginia in 2018, I believe it was.
It blew them out.
Yeah, blew them out. That was crazy. It's cool to see them there. I really haven't bet many of their games, so I have no opinion on that one yet. I didn't get to handicap that one yet, but you know, these are Howard's the hot team. They've been winning a lot more games recently. Since February 1st, they're one of the hotter teams. Now, guess what? Howard is in the MEAC, the worst conference in the world. Like every team but them is like 330 in below. It's so bad. But I have no opinion in that one. And then Lehigh versus Prairie View. You know, these games are not getting me as excited as some of the old ones in the past. Yes. Will. I don't know, but I haven't really, you know, gotten too excited about this. Maybe Miami, Ohio might be my only play.
What is the game? What is the round one game you're most excited about?
I mean, from a fan perspective,
yeah,
that's tough because I'm excited for every single game and whatever my bets are on. You know, I could see some intrigue to Ohio State versus TCU, the 8-9 seed. You know,
that's a good one.
I'm excited to see Utah State against Nova. I think Utah State's going to win, and that's another 8-9 one. I'm very excited about to see what Wright State has for Virginia. I think Wright State was interesting in their Horizon League tournament. Santa Clara, Kentucky, we already mentioned that one. That's going to be awesome to watch. I'm really curious to see how Santa Clara steps up against some of these teams. But, you know, the truth is that there should be a lot of blowouts as well. So it's like, are you going to get excited for a blowout? I don't know. I'm not going to be that contrarian guy that takes plus 30 just to take plus 30 on Siena against Duke. I think Duke could possibly win by 40 if they want. So that's the thing that you're playing against is, do they want to do it? You know, and a lot of times Duke will just run the clock out with 8 minutes left, you know, and then give up 10 points. You saw them do that against North Carolina. Thank God I was on North Carolina that game. Louisville, South Florida. That's the game I'm looking forward to the most.
Is there a game you look at in terms of the spread? I have no clue. I want no part of this. Is there a game that jumps out to you as just a complete stay away?
You mentioned it. Iowa versus Clemson.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going to happen in that one. You know, it's funny. I was looking at Queens against Purdue. Queens got us, man. Do we have to fade them now? I don't want to I don't want to be on Purdue.
Frustrating.
I know. That was very frustrating. Georgia versus St. Louis is really interesting too. I might be on St. Louis.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And you mentioned Georgia. You didn't want them in the tournament. They were comfortably, and I was surprised they got that eight seed. What of all the one seeds, and I'll let you go on this, of all the one seeds, and I'll ask you one more after this. Of all the one seeds, who do you think is the most vulnerable? Who goes out first?
You know, it's weird because I feel like Arizona could win it all. I feel like with Duke's injuries, they're the best team, but I feel like they can also go out early. Now, would it be to Wisconsin or Utah State or Arkansas? You know, it could be against those. Michigan could lose to Bama. Michigan's hot and cold. Florida could lose to Vanderbilt again. They're all kind of in the same boat except Duke. I think Duke should get past St. John's. And, you know, an interesting play would be Duke versus Louisville in Elite Eight if you want a sleeper, because I'm taking out UConn with UCF. So I think that Arizona, just because the West is hardest, might be the most vulnerable.
I know you like UCF, but if it's UCLA and Cronin versus Hurley and UConn, oh my. If I'm a ref, I'm just I'm calling out sick that day. I want no part of listening to those two. What who's your national champ before you last one? Who wins it all?
I'm filling out two brackets, one with Duke winning and one with Arizona winning. So if I have to pick one, I'm going to go with Arizona.
I'm going with Arizona too, I think. I haven't filled it out, but and I'm surprised more people are picking them than I thought. I just feel like they're being slept on for a team that's this good with this kind of resume. You know, Michigan hasn't looked great. All right, Florida's really good, but they've got a tough draw. I just think Arizona's being overlooked. The fact that everything with Lloyd and all of the early exits, I feel like that's being used against them there, maybe unfairly so. And we've seen this in tournament past, these coaches that can't win the big one until, guess what, they finally win the big one, and then it all goes away.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. I feel like Arizona is the most poised team to come in. You have to remember when they lost, they were missing one of their freshmen as well, one of their studs. I think it was Pete. I think Pete wasn't in. No, he got hurt against Texas Tech. That's what it was. So he got hurt against Texas Tech. And that Kansas game, man, that was just Kansas playing out of their mind. So, you know, it was because of that. And I feel that, you know, they're a lot better when he's playing. He's a hell of a 6'8 forward. And, you know, I think Arizona's just loaded, loaded, loaded. And they have depth as well. And they have the front court. They have the back court play. And, man, how good was Bradley? Jesus, you know, he's got to be
tremendous.
And I know he's a senior and they weren't looking at him in the NBA, but you know, I think he makes it into the NBA somehow. But you know, if Bradley's going to play like he did, I don't see anyone stopping Arizona.
Kev, you're the best man. I know we're all kind of basketballed out after this week and a half of just watching hoops nonstop, but it's obviously a labor of love and we love it. So let everyone know where we can find you and thanks for coming on.
Just for tonight, I'll be happy to cap these again in the morning after I sleep, Will. Check us out at theoddsbreakers.com. We have contests there. We have a $500 giveaway. We're giving away $500. So just fill out a bracket. Autofill moves a few things around. Takes you a second. That's hosted at CBS Sports. So find that. And obviously, our Survivor contest is out. Now that we have a bracket, Splash Sports, $20 a sheet for Survivor. We have 69 people so far. It's, you know, just starts obviously this week. We just got a bracket, so we expect that to go way up. And, you know, you can buy up to 25 brackets, but Survivor is extremely fun because there's a lot of strategy to it. You can't pick the big names first, you know, unless you really think that's not going to be a number one's final four. So there's always different ways to do it. And I love it, and love being on the show, Will. Thanks again.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. That'll do it. Thanks to Kev O'Neill. Thank you guys for listening. Be back on Wednesday, although we might have a special Tuesday preview baseball edition, just an extra episode on Tuesday. So I will tweet that out if that's the case. But be on the lookout for that. Rate, review, subscribe. See you then.